My name is Tony Thomas, and I was born and raised right here in East Tennessee in the Cumberland Mountains, and I'm from a coal mining family. I was born in 1944 in the little hamlet of Briceville, Tennessee, north of Knoxville. My father was a coal miner, and my grandfather also, and I was for a period of time. I grew up in a time when we didn't have electricity in the house and we didn't have inside plumbing. And I grew up at a time when neighbors were neighbors. You could go and leave your house unlocked and didn't have to worry about anybody violating or breaking in or whatever. And like I say, neighbors were neighbors. They were there for each other. It was a hard life. And I'm very limited in education. I had some high schooling, and that's pretty much the extent. But I also, I worked in the mines too, and I'm also real common with a lot of hard labor because I was subjected to that through my life. But say all this to say this, I'm a songwriter and a singer and an instructor. I teach different instruments. And I'm also an artist. And I conduct field recordings that consist of going out to rural areas and interviewing and playing music and singing with people who normally wouldn't have a chance to ever be recorded. And that's a part of what I do because I think it needs to be preserved, their culture and their music. And I'm also big on helping out with charity benefits, especially when it comes to doing charity work for the aged, the elderly, and to help needy children, hungry children. I'm big into that, and I'm big into my church work here at the Mount Harmony Baptist Church. Pretty much I stay busy as a folk artist, and I travel around and do festivals. I do schools, and I do libraries. I do churches, and I do senior citizen places, and do a lot of music in a lot of different places and stay pretty active. Got over 200 songs to my credit, and when I die, they're all going to be popular. I'll be like Stephen Foster. He wrote all those old songs of the South. Far south as he ever was Bardstown, Kentucky. He died penniless. He had 37 cents in his pocket. He died at the age of 37 in New York City. And it's, like I say, as far south as he ever came was Bardstown, Kentucky. He had a lot of stories and a lot of songs that he wrote regarding the South. He was one of my songwriting heroes, although he lived in a different time period than I did, but I admired his work, and I perform a lot of his music to this day. I perform a lot of different types of music. I don't guess that's what we're here to talk about, though, but for the most part, the songs I write are even related to Appalachia and its people. I write songs about different individuals and different happenings and different occurrences. My songs are regarded as story songs. Like most folk singers, you know, that's what we do. And we collect all those songs, and a lot of people have an ability to write songs like that, which I've been blessed with that ability. Well, when something touches my life somewhere, has an impact, I usually write a song about it. It's very important for me to share these stories with others so they can learn about us and how we lived. Not looking for nothing fabricated. I'm telling you the way it is, the way I live and my experiences in life. Well, there's hardly ever any dull moments around my place. I don't get in that mode because I'm a doer, you know. I don't sit around and ponder. I get out and do things. Yeah. Peace means a lot to me, like I stated earlier, to be able to help people through my music and to teach people or to get out and do benefits to help needy people. I find great peace in that. And this, like I say, this church here means a lot to me. It's my sanctuary, my basis for peace, and to try to help my fellow man in every way I can through my music or what I can do, you know, to make life better for them. And I find great peace. That's what peace means to me. And I feel like when I'm doing things like that for humanity, that my Father above smiles down on me for that. I feel like that's why I was put here. Well, it just kind of comes natural to me. It's just instilled in me to do it. I don't know how to explain it, but it seems like it's always there, and the urge to do good things and to help people just increases daily. You know, I don't know how to explain that, but I guess I'm pretty much like my father was, who was a minister. He was big about helping folks, and he found great peace in that. And doing what he could to help his fellow man along the way. And like I say, they were all coal miners. And we grew up hard, you know, and people helping people was what it was all about back then. The world is today, as I know it, is much different as the way it was when I was born and raised coming up through the early years, you know. Like I say, this high-tech age of modern computer world and everything, not complaining about computers or anything, because I've got one, and I kind of enjoy it, not cutting the computers down, but there's a big change, and actually there's a change in people the way they are now and then the way they were back then. The generation seems like there's more violence today than they were back then, or at least ways the way I grew up through the years, you know, it didn't seem to be as common as it is today. There's been a big change. I guess population's got a lot to do with it. There's a whole lot more people. Yeah, the world's pretty much filling up, yeah. A lot of different races, you know, in the United States, and whereas they weren't back then. And I would like to clear the air of this. I'm not a racist. I think God created us all, but there's a lot of different nationalities, and when you have nationalities all combined together, everything ain't go smooth all the time. That's my opinion. Well, the only hope we have is to do the best while we're here, because, you know, it's not going to last forever anyway, and just do the best what we can do while we remain here, you know, and just try to have a positive outlook, you know, and try to focus on being better and doing what you can do to help others and help life in general. Oh, yes, many, many times I've seen people that were poor as church mice, but yet they would take part of what they had to help others. I grew up like that. Like I say, people all through my life, my grandmother and my father and a lot of my kin were big into helping people, especially through the churches. If they thought they were in need in the area and they were like people needing food, groceries or whatever, or there was sickness in the area, they all come forth and try to do the best they can. I've seen it all my life. It's real common here in this part of East Tennessee. People still band together and get out and do fundraisers and do everything they can to help needy people. It's just abundant, especially in this part of the country. Like I said earlier, a lot of poor people that don't have a lot on their own, but yet they're willing to share what they've got and try to help people. I think they do it through the grace of the Lord, because it's instilled in them to do that. I mean, even though they don't have much, they feel richly, richly blessed, very richly blessed to be able to do that in their heart and mind, you know, to be able to do so, is to help people. And it really, really blesses them, you know, and makes them feel enriched within. You know what I'm saying? Well, living here in Appalachia, like you said, it's just rich in history. If you think back, you know, on our ancestors and how they settled the country and how it started out, you know, and you can kind of think back and feel blessed, you know, that they've done, came as far as they did. And you can really look at the history part of it, you know, and feel real good about it. And you can kind of trace your roots back, you know, and it all runs together. I think the more people think on that type of subject, the more they can appreciate it. Back when I was growing up, there was a family of people, not using their names or anything, they had a little girl that got real sick. And medical help was very hard to come by. Well, they had a few old doctors that done house calls and stuff like that, but they didn't have the knowledge and the means to treat people as they do today. But this particular little girl, I'll never forget, she got sick and they didn't know what was ailing her. But the people in the community there, they came and done everything they could. You know, a lot of people would have been afraid that they would maybe contact whatever she had or contracted her and get sick. But they put all those fears aside and went to do what they could do. But I remember many cases when people went to help people that was sick, even though there was a fear that they could be contagious or whatever. They let the good of the Lord intervene and they done what they could to help those people. All through my life, I've experienced that. And pretty much like that in some of the rural areas today. There's people still, a few people still here in rural Appalachia that live pretty primitive. I know some people that still don't have running water in their house, still have outhouses. But the old school people, there's still a few of them still around, is what I'm saying. The love was what was important, you know. But I experienced it firsthand from people sharing their goodness and working for peace and, like I say, working to help others in need. It's not something that you got to do. It's something that you want to do. It's in you to do it. You know what I'm saying? It's just something that you want to do. It's just the right thing. Right. That's the way it is. You have a desire to do that, you know, to work for it. You just feel full. It's just like the best feeling in the world. It's just a kind of a really natural spiritual high when you've done something and you know you've done something to help somebody. You just got the warmest feeling inside. It's what some of the old-time church folks call being blessed, richly blessed. I can think of one true story that we're talking about peace and kindness of my grandmother. She was the first one to ever sing to me, and she was still the best singer that I ever heard. And she was the first one who gave me any teaching of the scripture of the Bible. I'll remember times when, well, for instance, one winter it was so cold. And like I say, we were raised without electricity, and we didn't have the conveniences of electricity and heat and stuff like that. We had to use the fireplace or the warm morning stove. But I remember one time it was cold. It was really cold, and I was just a wee little bitty fella. And she had went outside the cabin. They lived in a log cabin, my grandmother and grandfather did. And she had found a little redbird, a little cardinal, that the night had gotten too cold for it. It was out next to the chimney trying to get warm, but it had gotten too cold, and it couldn't function because, I guess, hypothermia. And she brought it in and wrapped it in a homemade quilt and put it up next to the fireplace till it come back, you know, and got its functions, got to where it could fly and everything. But I remember her saving that little bird's life, and that was another act of kindness. But that's one of the most memorable acts of kindness I ever seen, is through my grandmother, what she showed for the little bird that day. Of course, like I say, there's so many stories in my head. I mean, it'd take 2 days for me to sit here and tell all the stories. But that really inspired me. Well, the only true advice I could give is to keep our trust in the Lord and do what we can do to make things better, you know, and let people see Christianity in us when they, you know, they can see the God in you if you do the right things in life, you know. You can be a living witness that way, and I think that's what the Lord intended for us to strive for it, you know. It's a big, big world and a lot of things going on, you know, but the best we can do is let people see the Lord in us and let them know what we stand for and to try to make life better and to be friends with people and try to help people along, because God created us all and we're all in this together, and people need to come to terms with that. God, there's so many different denominations, and they all believe differently. They all believe differently. But when it all boils down to it, they all still have the same goal in mind, you know. They can put denominations aside and just find the love in their heart that the Lord has put there and go accordingly. The old saying is, why can't we all just get along? Denominations don't mean anything to me, because I don't consider myself of any denomination. I consider myself a Christian and a true person that wants to do something right in life, help people, my brother along the way. Denominations is fine, but, you know, it's what's in your heart that really matters in the long run. Yeah, from other parts of the country that has never been here or never lived here, a lot of people would find people from Appalachia to be quite different, and they might refer to them as backwoodsy or hillbillies. But if they ever got to know us people, they would see us in a different light. Well, I just tell them it's the most wonderful place on God's green earth as far as beauty of it and the beauty of the people. And if they ever tried us, they would love us. Good people here in these mountains, what I'm trying to say. Some are people that live here in the mountain are very hard to know. They're kind of timid and shy, if you will, you know, like a lot of people label them as hillbillies and backwoodsy and stuff like that. But it's the love and the kindness that they show when it comes down to it, you know, that really matters, you know. These people in rural Appalachia are more different than anybody. Like I say, I've lived other places and been around a lot of other people, and I can communicate and I can get along anywhere I'm at. But there's just something special about the people here in Appalachia. It's just amazing. But I think all parts of the world has a little Appalachia in them, if you go to thinking about it. You know, there's always a lot of people with a lot more good than they are bad when it boils down to it.